It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Alright, we got some old business to take care of. First of all, so, what episode number is this?
This is episode 696.
696. While posting 695, I discovered that the audio file for 694 was in fact the audio file from 693. So people who were just listening audio, and I know some of them exist, would not have gotten the correct, they just would have gotten the same one over again from the previous one. I have since fixed that. So if you are out there watching or listening to this and you're like, what the fuck was going on last week? Like, go check it now. It should be fine. You'll be good. So look into that. There's a thing with it not, it no longer is auto-populating the files. And so I have to go grab the previous one and then change one number. And apparently I grabbed it and then forgot to change one number. So. But when I went to grab that one to do the next one, I saw it. So it all worked out. And second, I'm pretty sure I wore this last time, but we didn't talk about it. I got a new captain.
I was going to ask about that.
And it's covered in octopuses and fish.
Octopuses and fish.
Octopuses and fish and some fish hooks and things like that. It's this is one of two fabrics that we purchased at a stitchery that we like in Kauai in order to be turned into captains. Oh. And this was the first one. And I like it very much.
Do you think of yourself as kind of a ocean guy? I mean, you know, you grew up.
I am a very water guy.
A water, okay.
Very water. I like drinking water. I like the feel of water. I like submersing myself in water. I like taking baths and showers. I like water. So in that sense, yes. And I spent a lot of time in my childhood at or near the ocean. We were about an hour and a half away from the coast growing up, and my whole family really liked it, so we would go there. And then, of course, we went to Hawaii in the summers and things like that. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say I'm an ocean guy.
Did you ever fish or anything? You don't strike me as someone.
I have not. When I was, well, I don't know when I was younger. I didn't have any relatives that really did that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
When I got a little older, I found ethical issues with it. I don't have ethics with eating animals, but I don't want killing fish. I was young. I didn't understand hypocrisy yet. And then I got older and kind of like I'm kind of over that component, but now it just seems boring.
Yeah, right.
That being said, I sometimes get really into the fishing mini games in video games. And I do have relatives now who do fish, and so it is very fun to sort of talk to them about, like, so how accurate is this? So what's this?
Did you go through, so recently I realized, someone told me that there isn't just a dinosaur phase for kids, that for a lot of kids there's they want to be marine biologists. There's a marine biology
phase. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Very long time.
Yeah.
Well, it helped. Where I was, Oregon State University has an amazing marine biology program.
Yeah.
So it's a great place to go for that. No, I definitely did. one of the neighbor kids just got out of that phase, I think.
Oh. I don't think I had a marine biology phase. I didn't realize that was a thing.
I'm guessing you didn't learn about the ocean until college.
Well, to be fair, I don't think I had a dinosaur phase either. I think I skipped that whole thing.
Every single human has a dinosaur phase and marine biology phase.
This is what I'm learning, but I don't remember. I don't remember my siblings.
I didn't mention you, did I? No, unless I specifically mention you.
I'll have to ask my siblings if any of them had that, because I don't remember that they had it either. I had four siblings. You'd think if, you know, I would notice that they had something like that.
I'm betting they all did. Just you.
That's funny.
I assume you wanted to be a sociologist at age six.
I wanted to be a doctor at age like two or three. Like, I didn't even know what a doctor was. But and that was always I was interested in was like human anatomy and health and first aid and things like that. When I was a kid, that's all I was interested in. Oh, well, I was interested in like other human, like I was interested in human behavioral stuff that far back for sure. But I thought I was going to be a doctor until I was like 16 and I changed my mind. But then I went right to being a, you know, being interested in helping people with their mental health rather than their physical health. I went right to that. But then the whole sociology thing became a thing. And then I tried to get into the profession in 1996 and couldn't get into graduate school. So that's the story there.
A few days ago, I told you that I was very excited because you and I are going to be driving for 10 hours total over the course of like a day and a half. And I thought, we might finally run out of things to talk about because we never have. We always like have to stop our conversations because of life. Yep. And I thought, well, you really make it go. And I'm having difficulty reconciling it with the fact that I'm starting this thing right now, knowing I have to talk to you for 2 hours and I want to shoot myself in the face already.
Mission accomplished.
My
job here is done.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast with me, Captain, with octopuses. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and as I've already said, this is episode 696. Man, episode 700. It's coming fast, and we haven't even said anything about it until just now.
Yep. Every once in a while, I'm like, oh, that'll be soon. What are we going to do for it? Like, record an episode.
Yeah.
That's how we are. It's like after you hit a certain number of birthdays, they're not that interesting. Same thing. 700? Not a deal. For those of you just joining us, I'm going to explain the situation now because I'm not going to explain it next time. We have a hat. It is magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, mostly Welsh people, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want to tell us or ask us or have us talk about, whatever. The hat magically forwards that to us. We read them on the air. We talk about them till we're bored. That's the show. Except when it's not. So, how's your week been? Sorry. How's half your week been? We're going to need something to talk about next time. Well,
I think. So, when I finished the program that I was in, it took some time for all of that to process, right? So for me yes. to get to so officially graduated or whatever.
Yes.
And I think since you and I spoke last, that's happened. I've gotten the communication to say I'm done. And my official transcript is available, which meant that I could immediately send that transcript to the testing organization. Because I took that exam, but they can't give me my actual national certification until I finish the program. So they were waiting on me to let them know that I finished. So when I was alerted that I was officially done, I could get the transcript and send it to them. So now I'm waiting for them to give me that certification. And so what that means is I'm officially graduated. Like my diploma is like in the mail or something.
So we officially have to start calling you Master Wright.
I guess. And the certification is also going to be official soon because, you know, they get that information and then they get that. So those two things are what I need to show the state for the state to say, okay, we can give you a license. It's a temporary license, but it's a license. So that's the next step is I get the official word on my certification. And then I have to fill out an application to the state. And then I have to wait for them to go, okay, here's your temporary license. You've got to log 3,000 hours of client time, and then we'll give you a permanent license. So
Malcolm Gladwell lied. It only takes 3,000 hours.
Pretty sure Yeah. Lied? Who? Not what? 10.
Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000 hours to master any skill.
Oh, it's just state regulations, but it was a big deal though. When I finally got that email and it's like, you're officially, what am I trying to say? In some ways it shouldn't have been a big deal. Cause it's like, of course it was just a matter of time before that thing came, but for some reason, psychologically, it was a huge deal to me for that.
It's an official milestone. I mean,
it makes sense. So, I mean, it felt really good.
That for a lot of people, graduation ceremony is a big deal, even though they've officially done everything they needed to do already and they know it's done.
I guess that's true.
If they didn't attend the ceremony, they'd get their degree.
Yeah. So the
now eventually when you find out that this is all a dream and you wake up and you haven't done any of it, that's going to be bad.
The commencement for my cohort is in San Antonio in September or something, which I'm not planning to attend, but yeah,
what if we paid to erect a jumbotron in the background and just put you up on that?
But yeah, when I was pretty surprised actually by my reaction to it. I was really happier about it than I thought. I was going to be glad that it happened, but I was like really glad. Like, I don't know, it was like a relief, like a huge relief, which I didn't really even realize I was carrying that much of a burden about it, but I was.
That, I think, is a thing. I think this is a getting older thing. Trish and I both find this a lot. Stuff that you didn't know you were stressing about until it's passed, and suddenly you're like, wow, my shoulders are a lot less tight than they were.
Right. That's what I mean.
There was something a while back, one time when we were doing financially just fine, but then Trish got like promoted and got a big raise, and this was years ago. And a couple days later, she's like, I didn't think I was worrying about money, but apparently I was, because now that we have more, I'm suddenly way less tense.
Yeah. But, yep. Like it. I just know actually,
Tonight we're supposed to play D&D, and our DM, who's my sister-in-law, just canceled because she's getting we're about to go do the Virginia trip anxieties that happen every year. Which as soon as she texted, she's like, I don't think I can do it tonight. I'm kind of freaking out about the trip. I was like, no, I get it. Trish and I are there. Like, it's bubbling under the surface, but any second. And it's combinations of, it's a week with your family, it's a cross country trip. There's a lot of anxieties related to travel and family and it's going to be fun, especially because this year we probably won't all get COVID. And that'll be a blast. But like, as soon as she said it, I was like, oh, you're going to get, no, that makes sense. Like, give it a day and I would have canceled on us too. Like, that's fine. We're already like planning. And of course, Trish leaves first because she drives. So there's like, what do I have to get done before she leaves? And then what do I have to do after she leaves?
Do you, Do you feel when you visit the Atlantic Ocean?
Yes.
Is it different for you than when?
Not in the reasons you'd think.
I don't know.
It is physically very different. There are parts of the Pacific coast that I'm sure would match up, but East Coast beaches are very different. And in particular, where we are, which is Sandbridge, Virginia, it's sand. Like, it's not land. It's sand. And every few years, they rent very expensive equipment, and they dredge sand up from deeper out in the water and spit it back onto the beach because the beach erodes so quickly.
Wow.
And, like, there's a spot where in front of the house, like, sticking out of the water is some weird, like, metal walls or whatever. And I can see the photos from when they used to come decades ago. And it's a whole seawall that's just not there that I've never seen. But they used to see it.
Huh.
Because it was so everything's moved around. So yeah, it's, but the point is, it's a very just flat sand beach.
Hmm.
And where I grew up, no, you don't have that. You got rocks, you got all sorts of stuff. In fact, Trish was really excited to see tide pools for the first time when we went to the West Coast, because growing up, her grandparents had given her a book about the ocean, like a children's book, and it had a section on tide pools, but they did not exist where they were.
Hmm.
So they were always just a sort of mythical thing to her. They was like, yeah, we got tide pools. And so then she got to see tide pools. Admittedly, they're not like they used to be because we're killing off everything. But it's still nice. I'm going to turn off this fan. We'll see what it does. I've been very warm, but it's blowing like right in my face at the start.
Oh, is your air not working? Or?
Oh, it is, but it's still pretty dang hot.
Yeah.
And actually the one I've got, the main one I've now got set on eco, which means it only runs when it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
So the fan's not blowing, but this is the hottest room in the place.
That was your week.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
on mastering your degree. Or whatever it is, on failing to leave school. I don't understand what any of y'all are doing. It's crazy. My week's been okay, I think. A lot super interesting happening. I'm still playing that game where I'm a little sushi robot in a small town. And it's fun. In my sushi restaurant, I now have a little robot who may be an alien. We don't know, but his name is Lilbot, and he also loves sushi. And he doesn't talk, but he'll go around and clean up tables for me. And then when there aren't any tables that need cleaning up, he, like, polishes the furniture. And what I love about him is his way of doing everything is to just, like, punch it. So he just comes up to stuff, and he's just like, poof, poof, and then it's clean. And also, if he has to clean something and he's like across the room, he'll do the little Naruto run with his arms back and head kind of down, and he's literally just like a tin can with a little, he looks like if somebody took Bender and then just squished him.
Mm.
So he's just two little arms and two little legs and a little antenna, and then he just punches stuff until it's clean. So he's pretty cute. It's a very simple little silly game. I think I'll probably be done with it pretty soon. There are three different spirits I have to summon to get rid of the curse on the village. And I've summoned two of them. So.
So you're a robot, a sushi chef, and you summon spirits.
Well, no. Well, yes. But.
Wow.
No, so I got tricked into coming to this town because the mayor of this town basically gets new people to show up by lying about the facilities available in this small town.
Okay.
And so I come and I start doing sushi or whatever and all that. And eventually, I don't even remember now, we found some ancient writing or some shit that there were spirits in the town. And then it turns out if you make a certain kind of sushi, they show up. And then it turns out the town has a curse on it to prevent it from ever growing or being like known or getting famous or anything. Which is why it's always rinky dink. And so each spirit can like get rid of some of the curse. And so mechanically that means there's a ceiling on how popular my restaurant can get. And then we summon another spirit and then I can go up higher. And then we can't work on the next one until I hit a certain ceiling of popularity. So, but, and it involves making a different kind of sushi for each one because everything in this town is solved with sushi.
Like, that's your perfect place.
Works good for me. I like it. They also give me other little abilities. So, like, now I can do little boosts of speed and I can stop time occasionally, which is really helpful in the restaurant because everybody's going. And there's different kinds of customers. And sometimes there's annoying ones. And there's a dedicated button that makes me beep, which I primarily use because sometimes customers fall asleep in the restaurant and you got to go wake them up because if they sleep too long, they're just going to get up and leave. It's hard being a sushi robot in a small town. Like all the stereotypes you see from like the Lifetime movies and stuff are pretty accurate. Like, that's what it's like. It is. I mean, I don't want to paint all sushi robots in small towns with one brush, but
right.
There is a, like stereotypes arrive for a reason.
Yeah.
Like,
based on something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
It's hard. Sushi ain't easy. Let's see. I don't have a bunch else. Really, yeah, there hasn't been a whole lot going on. We did watch two movies of note. I want to save one for next week. Although we have established we have three emails, all from Stu. So we have something to do with our time. But, all right, I'm going to talk about one of them. Do you want this one or this one?
That one.
This one?
Yeah.
All right, this one. We watched Abigail.
Oh. I don't really know what that's about, but I just saw recently that it was associated with, is it a Universal picture?
It's a documentary about your wife.
Stop it. It was somehow associated with like Universal Monsters or something. And when I saw it, I thought, what? That movie is somehow connected to the Universal Monsters? I didn't understand that. Is there any connection at all, or did I just see something stupid?
You saw something stupid.
Okay.
There is the most tenuous connection, but there's a connection to monsters. Mm. There's not a connection to Universal Monsters.
Not like the Wolfman or a mummy or the Dracula or Frankenstein or any of that.
Technically, no.
Okay. Well, the thing I saw was saying it was somehow connected. It's like, okay, I don't know anything about that.
I will discuss it and spoil it as much as the trailers spoil it.
Okay.
Which is some spoiling. I don't know why the trailers do that.
I never planned to watch it, but it's like, what is this?
People kidnap a young 11-year-old ballerina and put her in a house where they're holding her until her very wealthy father pays them ransom. Oh. Turns out the little ballerina's a vampire. Oh. And she's gonna gorble all of them.
What does gorble mean exactly?
I don't know. I got it from Scaredy Cats. I think it's like messily eating. So it's what monsters do. It's what monsters do. They gorble. It's like gobble, but scary, I think.
Yeah. Like, okay.
You often fangoriously gorble, I think, is part of it also. That's a thing. It's horrible. It's exactly what you think. It is.
I know. It's a great word.
Onomatopoeia. Pia. It's garble. You know, they do that.
That's good. Horrible.
It's got a pretty good cast. It's I would say the protagonist, such as it is Sarah Barry. She's the one who was in the musicals, and then she was in Scream 5 and Scream 6. And then she was fired from Scream 6 for tweeting support to refugees in Palestine, which is some bullshit. But she's the lead in this. And I kind of like her. I didn't watch the Scream movies, but she's fun. Dan Stevens playing Absolute Creeper, which I love Dan Stevens. He is really good at playing really creepy guys. He needs more sort of villain or at least anti-hero turns. I really like him in that sort of capacity. Speaking of which, side note, there's a movie coming out called We Live in Time, and it appears to be sort of a tragic romance thing, and it's 100% not my kind of thing, except it stars Florence Pugh and Andrew Garfield, and in it they're both British. And I like both of those actors, and they're actually British. And I don't think I've ever got to see them in anything where they got to be British. So part of me just wants to see it for that. Anyway, it also has the actress who played Ant-Man's daughter in the latest Ant-Man, which I did not see. She's done a couple other things recently, too. I don't particularly know her, but... she's in this. A couple other people I didn't know, they're just good. Giancarlo Esposito is in it, so you know that's good. Although his part is kind of small. And whoever the little girl is kicks ass. She does a great job. Does really well. I wasn't that into it.
You didn't like it?
No. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I didn't like it. I didn't dislike it. Trish liked it, I think. All the stuff I said is good. And it is good. It didn't... I don't know. I mean, I'm not sorry I watched it or anything. It didn't click. I don't know what it was. Everybody in the movie is really dumb, but that's in service to watching them get fangoriously gorbled, so I'm okay with that. And there are, like, twists and stuff, and everybody acts well. Like, on paper, it's great. Didn't do it for me. I don't know. Weird.
Okay. Because we keep seeing it, you know, as a thing available to watch or whatever.
I think it's good.
Okay.
But yeah, it didn't hit me right. But I think, again, I'm not sorry I saw it. It's fun. It's very. There's a lot of gore. In very fun, ridiculous ways.
Okay.
These are vampires that as soon as sunlight touches them, they explode, which are like the best kind. Those are always fun. It's one of those movies that at the end, like every character that's still alive is just covered in red, like all over. It's one of those characters.
Yeah, I feel like the original Nosferatu and sort of inventing that. I mean, they didn't invent it. I mean, that the idea of any evil creature having a problem with sunlight is an ancient one. But to introduce that specifically into vampire lore the way that Nosferatu did, I think is one of the... That was like, great. That's good that happened, because I'm not sure we'd have vampires today if that particular kind of weakness wasn't introduced. I think because I think yeah, it's so helpful to plotting. It's visually interesting. It's like, yeah, I'm not sure modern vampires could exist without that particular thing.
Are you excited about the upcoming remake of Nosferatu?
I don't know. So the trailers look okay. And I'm getting the impression from it that, so as every, well, I don't, maybe everybody doesn't know, but many people know Nosferatu was just Bram Stoker's Dracula, but we're not going to call it that because we didn't have rights to it or whatever. But I mean, the whole plot's the same. A guy goes to this, I mean, it's exactly the same. I mean, it, not everything in the book is in the film, but whatever. So, but I'm watching the trailer and I'm seeing things in the trailer that were in Bram Stoker's work that were not in the film. So it, or that I don't remember being in the film. So it feels like the filmmakers are like, okay, well, you know, we can borrow even more stuff from Bram Stoker and put it in our film. So it's like really going to be very close. I'm thinking very close to the novel, which I am very interested in that. I would love to see someone.
They're just trading on that name.
Yeah, right. So it's like, so part of what makes me interested about in it isn't just that, oh, they're gonna make an updated or like a more exciting action-packed Nosferatu or whatever, but that maybe more stuff from Bram Stoker's book might be up on the screen. I kind of like that idea, but I don't know.
This is another one. I really hope it's sort of just in name only kind of thing, because Nosferatu is another one of those films that I'm like, it shouldn't / can't be redone.
Oh, well, right.
And I'll give you another example, because this just reminded me and it's driving me nuts. So, saw a trailer recently. Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement are making a new TV show. It's a remake of Time Bandits.
Oh, I heard about that.
And Taika Waititi is clearly playing God, and Jermaine Clement is playing evil. And one of the main bandits is played by Lisa Kudrow. And... what? Like, here's the thing. You tell me, Taika Waititi, Jermaine Clement, making a fantasy TV show. Also, Lisa Kudrow is a major character in it. I'm like, shit, I'm fucking there. You tell me someone, anyone in the world, including Terry Gilliam, is remaking a Terry Gilliam movie? I'm like, why? Also, no, they're not. I don't think you can remake a Terry Gilliam movie.
Well,
nor should you. Yeah. Those are, for good or for bad, and some of his movies were bad, they are so specifically his batshit brain that it's just crazy to, why would, what? No. And so my biggest hope is that this is going to be so far from any of that, that I can just enjoy it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm going to see it, at least to start with. But my hope is that it is just so far removed from the source material.
Well, I don't think...
why would you do that?
Well, okay. So this is what I'm saying. It looks to me,
I mean,
like...
other than name recognition, and then it sells tickets.
Right. But... one way you can do Nosferatu specifically is to approach it like, well, we're just going to do what the original filmmakers did, and we're going to make a Bram Stoker's Dracula movie without using any of the names. That's one way you can do it. You can say, well, we also want to make a Bram Stoker's Dracula movie, but we don't have the rights or don't want the rights. Or, I mean, I think it's public domain now, but anyway.
I was going to say, I don't think you got to worry about it.
But we're going to do it just like the Nosferatu people did and change all the names and everything. And we'll even kind of market it like what we're really doing is Nosferatu, but Nosferatu is just Bram Stoker's Dracula. So, I mean, that's one way to approach it, which I would find interesting, but there are things they're definitely going to take from the film that like in the preview, there's rats. I don't remember rats being a rat plague in London when he's coming and stuff. I don't remember that being in Bram Stoker's story. And I think that's a film thing that they'll have. Also, I'll bet Nosferatu does have an aversion to sunlight, which that's not in Bram Stoker's thing. That was made for Nosferatu. So there's going to be some Nosferatu specific stuff. Now, some people would say, yeah, well, he's going to look like, you know, the
Count
vampire. Yeah. But in that's actually borrowed from the book. In the book, Dracula is a odd, scary looking guy. I mean, the Nosferatu filmmakers didn't make that up that for their film. But most people are, I think, are going to think, well, but I think the Nosferatu in this new film will look a lot like the one in the film. So I guess that's the film, I guess, I suppose. So some of the stuff is definitely going to remind you of the film if you've seen it. I'm pretty sure. But I'm hoping they have extra elements that are from Bram Stoker. That's what I'm hoping, because I think that would be fun.
Yes. You're the only one.
I don't know who Willem Dafoe is playing.
No one. I thought Willem Dafoe was Count Orloff in the.
He was, but oh, he's also in this? Right. Yeah, he's in this.
No, nobody is. I promise you, William. No one else in the world is going, oh, they're remaking Nosferatu? Well, that was just Bram Stoker's Dracula without the name. So maybe this will be a better adaptation of Bram Stoker's Dracula. No, they're remaking Nosferatu. If their goal was to do Bram Stoker, they'd call it Dracula. They'd call it Bram Stoker's Dracula. This is not their, like, we're sneakily tricking you into
story. Yeah, I don't think they're tricking anyone. I think.
Well, here's the thing. You're also the only person who's like, oh, this is basically just Bram Stoker with different names. Nobody else is. I have literally never heard that said about the movie Nosferatu until
today. Really?
Never heard that.
I mean, I have, but
of course you have. You were probably alone, looking in a mirror, talking about.
No, it's a thing that people who are fans of this material talk about all the time. Well, at least I've seen in articles and things like that. But
I'm willing to believe a lot of it comes from that. I don't think this is a backdoor
Bram Stoker
reboot.
I'm not saying anyone's trying to. I'm saying it's a gimmick. It's like, hey, let's do it. I'm not saying they're trying to trick anyone.
Okay, I will go further. I don't think anybody thinks remaking Nosferatu has more market appeal than just remaking Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Hmm. I mean, you're probably right about that. Although I think it's cool.
Of course you do. But that's
it feels to me.
I think you are overthinking what they are doing here.
I hope not, because I think it would be really cool if that's what they were doing.
It's never what you hope. When it comes to movies, William, it's literally never what you hope it's going to be.
I mean, I would do something like that. I would go, hey.
I want you to give me one example. When a movie was coming out and you were like, oh, I hope it's this, and it actually was. Can you think of any?
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Nope.
Hope springs eternal, but to keep you from crying later, I'm breaking it to you now.
It's not crying. I'm not going to be that disappointed. I'll just be really impressed if that's what they do, because that's a cool idea. Really cool. Really cool idea.
It is. They're not going to.
I'm basing it on the fact that I was pretty sure I saw things in the preview that were not in Nosferatu, but that were in Bram Stoker. Like, okay, so they're going to pull that in from the book, even though the people who made Nosferatu didn't.
Or so they're going to pull a lot of tropes which have their origin in Bram Stoker, and they don't even know.
No, I suppose so. I suppose.
It's not going to happen. But my point stands. Why remake it? Except for the weird specific circumstance you're hoping is the reason, which is definitely not the reason. Why remake it, and why remake a Terry Gilliam movie? I mean, I know the answer is we think it's marketable. If we call it this, then people will show up. I'm a little scared Taika and Jermaine are really going to try and give it like a proper, you know, paying homage and all that. And I'm like, no. The less you can attach yourself to the original, because the original is just such a very specific thing. It also has a level of bleakness that you can't do in a modern film or TV show. Like, Time Bandits has some very sort of Roald Dahl level bleakness to it that I don't think would fly nowadays. I do think it's interesting from the little shots I have. So the bandits are no longer little people in this version.
Okay.
But there is a shot with Taika Waititi playing God, I believe. And there are some older little people near him. I'm pretty sure it's some of the surviving actors from the original to be like cameos as his like counselors or whatever. So that's kind of fun. But oh, you sweet son of a child. Yeah, it's not gonna be that new. Not gonna do that. Poor thing. We're still watching Reservation Dogs. That show fucking kicks ass.
Yeah, we should watch that. I don't know what the holdup is.
We're doing. If you do, I would say go back and start at the beginning because there's some.
What is it on? It's not on Hulu.
It's on Hulu, and there's that's... 3 seasons, and it's done. And...
okay, we don't have Hulu. That's probably part of the problem.
Get Hulu. We are now in third season of Ted Lasso.
Oh.
It's fine. It's definitely the weakest of the three, which I think is a thing that can happen at a certain point. Like, there's just a lot of pieces that they're really wanting to deal with and added in sort of new storylines that I'm less into. But we'll see. It's still Ted Lasso. I'm still liking it. So that's good. Also, and I hate this one. So you know how I'm done with the MCU? I'm done with superheroes.
Yeah.
This shit.
Sure.
Saw a trailer for Agatha All Along.
Oh.
I might gotta watch it. It looks good. Got a lot of good people in it. I mean, it's got Catherine Hahn, but it's also got Aubrey Plaza. It's got Patti LuPone. Agatha sort of gets a coven of witches, and they do witchy things. I might have to check it out. My dearest hope is it's going to have very little to do with the overall multiverse.
So. Yeah, right, right.
So we will see. But I'll check it out. And it's happening in the fall specifically to match up around Halloween time. It's starting in like mid-September, I think, so it'll end right around Halloween. And so that's the time for that kind of stuff.
Sure is.
But, see, I am hoping for nothing. We'll see what happens. And I am prepared, unlike you.
Unlike me.
You can prepare yourself. It's not going to go how you hope. Just like this podcast. It's not going to go how you hope.
Well, but I mean, I don't, you know me, it's not only do I often hope for the best, but if it's disappointing, I'm not like crushed or something. I mean, I survive it. It's no big deal.
Yes, and I don't approve of that either.
Well, a part of it is because I just like, you know, like you said, you're getting tired of superheroes or whatever. I don't think I'll ever get tired of superheroes. So even if something is not good, doesn't crush me. It's like, I still like superheroes. I still look forward to the next movie or monster movies or Dracula movies or whatever it is. It doesn't matter if it's not very good. I'm not going to be devastated by it. And I like having high expectations.
Did you see that Jamie Foxx-led Netflix vampire hunting movie?
No.
I think that could crush you. I believe it's called Day Shift. It did not do well.
No, I didn't even hear that. Huh.
It's sitting on Netflix. Go watch it.
I think for a lot of that stuff, like, so we're in the time of year where, like, we'll watch horror movies all year round, right? But then there comes a certain time of year where it's like, where Halloween season is coming up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we think, well, let's just save this one. Just in case, you know, when it's September and October, there's not very much to watch, right?
Yeah.
You know, if it was in January, February, it's like, we're not going to wait that long. Let's watch it. But like you get into late July and you're thinking there might not be much to watch in October and late September. So let's just save this one, you know? So maybe we'll save
it. There's always going to be lots to watch.
Right. But I mean, not much. Yeah. I mean, so we've had Shudder for a little bit and I thought this will solve this problem. Right. Like there will always be plenty to watch in around that time of year. And I don't know, for whatever reason it didn't.
I still think Shudder is worth it, but it has gotten a little bait and switchy. Like it used to get a lot of new stuff real fast, and around Halloween it would do a lot. And the problem is they're becoming successful enough that they are producing movies that do not drop on Shudder day one anymore. They actually get theatrical releases and stuff like that. So then it can take a while, and they're also owned by the same people that own AMC, and so there's a lot of cross promotion there, and I don't give a shit about AMC, and so Shudder is still worth it in my opinion. It is not as worth it as it used to be.
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, I think we thought it was, you know, worth it. It's just, it's probably me too. I mean, because I'm super picky, you know. It's like I would say. I don't know when in my life I would have started telling people that I'm interested in the horror genre or I like horror, the horror genre. I mean, I've liked like ghost stories and stuff like that my whole life. When I was, lots of people who knew me when I was like a kid would say, oh, this guy, they would wonder why I wasn't reading Stephen King or something, because I seemed to have an interest in that kind of thing.
You seem like a creepy kid.
but from in my own personal, like, perspective of my own likes and preferences, I don't think I ever would have described myself as a horror person until relatively recently. But like with everything else, if I decide I like something, I never like all of it. I only like a little piece of it. And so a lot of stuff on Shudder is just not going to interest me at all.
This is why William never had pets growing up, because he would just save like a foot, because he never loves all of it. Just like a piece.
Actually, you know, so like, that's actually a good example with animals. I like them outside where animals are supposed to be. that's how much of the animals I like outside. William, inside's too much.
You got a lot of cat feet hanging in your room. Maybe you should be reading Stephen King.
Shut up.
That's what they all said to me.
Now, I was just interested in ghost stories and monster stories, but like short, like campfire stories. I wasn't interested in long novels or even movies or whatever. It's like a little brief, like to this day, I like a recording of someone telling a ghost story version of The Headless Horseman more than I like reading, you know, The Headless Horseman in the actual piece of literature. It's I just prefer that. But
the common phrase that his family will recount till the day they die is, he used to say, it ruins it if they have a face.
Shut up.
Okay, do you want a complete pet? If we could get you a whole cat and
no.
No, that'll have a face. It ruins it if they have a face.
I interacted a lot with the cats and dogs on the farm. A lot.
Well, parts of them.
No, I petted them. I held them. I would sometimes just sit with our pet dog out in the yard, and we would just sit there and enjoy the day. I don't have a problem interacting with animals. I love animals. It's just, it was just weird for them to be in the house, because that's not how it worked when I was growing up. That's all.
All right. Enough of William's animal butchering. Let's do that email.
What is wrong with you?
You realize that's absolutely going to be this title.
What's that?
It ruins it if they have a face.
Anyway. So, from Stu.
Stu.
The Iowan. He's an Iowan.
All right.
Not just a Welshman. He says.
Iowelsh.
Iowelsh. I like that. Iowelsh.
Maybe that's a better title. I don't know.
Yesterday, he says, yesterday I made gluten-free chocolate chip cookies for my daughter, or tried to. What we actually made is grainy lumps of crumbly dough lightly adorned with chocolate chips. And then he asks...
Well, for starters, you should have cooked it.
then he asks us, can you cook, Stu? Now, you can cook, obviously. You talk about it all the time. Yes. And I can cook. I mean, if I'm not, I don't think I'm a very good, I'm very good at it, but I can do it. As far as the cookies go, so we live in a gluten-free household, and I can tell you that problem that you had with your cookies does sometimes happen. And there's various tricks you can do to avoid that. I know none of them, but thankfully my wife does. So a lot of times our cookies don't come out that way, but
I mean, the best trick is gluten.
Shut up.
No, I actually was friends and friends with, there was a coworker who we would hang out sometimes, and then they moved away. And so we don't really talk anymore. But recently they friended me on Goodreads. Anyway, they can't have gluten. They have some issues with dairy. They have issues with fructose. They have a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. They basically can't eat anything. I'm shocked they're alive. They also love baking. And so they've gotten really good at gluten-free baking. And the three biggest tricks I know of are almond flour, coconut flour, and xanthan gum. I don't know what you do with those things, but they do it. So work on that. Bring those into your life. I had some really good cakes made with coconut flour. If you like coconut, you can do a lot of fun stuff. Actually, this is a recent thing. So, if I say to you the phrase Dole Whip, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
All right. Dole Whip, and I always say it like I'm Stewie Griffin for some reason because it cracks me up. Dole Whip is a thing that you can only get at Disney parks, or at least traditionally you can only get at Disney parks. It is, to really oversimplify, pineapple soft serve. And it's really crazy good. It's sort of like halfway between soft ice cream and like a soft serve sherbet kind of thing, and it's pineapple, and it's really good, and people obsess over it. There are cults dedicated to it, things like that. So recently it has been discovered that in the freezer case near the ice cream, in between the ice cream and the frozen fruit in Hy-Vee, is Dole Whip. And it comes in three flavors: pineapple, mango, strawberry. We have gotten some and tried some, and it is not the same thing. How could it be? Of course it is. You can't do soft serve in a freezer case. It doesn't really work. But what it is really tasty. And it is dairy-free, and I forget. It's a bunch of free things. But part of it is when you look at the ingredients list, the vast majority of it is made up of puree of specifically whatever flavor it is. So like strawberry puree or whatever. Coconut cream and honey to sweeten. And then there's some stuff after it. And I actually remember looking at it, and other than the fact that it doesn't have any protein and it has a little bit of fiber, nutritionally, it looks extremely similar to just one of my Greek yogurts. I get one of my Chobani Greek yogurts. So it's like 110 calories, and it's not got a lot of carbs or a lot of sugar. It's very nice, and it's just, yeah, very fruity. And again, if you are okay with coconut milk, coconut cream, things like that. It's real nice. And of course, you introduced me to the so delicious coconut-based ice cream, which pissed me off.
Why?
Because you were like, I like it better than regular ice cream. And I got it specifically so I could tell you it's bullshit. But it's really good. I hate it when you're right, is what it comes down to. It is really tasty.
Yeah, we have a lot of coconut.
Far and away the best dairy-free ice cream I've ever had. Far and away.
We have a lot of coconut in this house. Like, I make hot chocolates with coconut, unsweetened, you know, canned. It's like condensed milk, but it's coconut. Yeah. It's wonderful.
I've been cooking a lot with it lately because it's integral to a lot of Thai dishes and Thai curries. I think I'm a good cook. I'm getting better all the time. The problem is my personality is intuitive cooking. I'm like, I just want to go, oh, this seems right. We'll add this in, whatever. And this is encouraged by the fact that my wife and her family are very much intuitive cooks.
Mm-hmm.
I am not good at it. I need recipes. I need steps I can follow, or yeah, else.
I do too.
I mean, occasionally it comes out good, but more often it does not. I mean, it's always edible. That's fine. I can make edible things, but it's like, no, it's not really good. But doing a lot with the wok can do a lot of fun stuff. Including now that I learned you can make really good pasta in it. You just put the pasta in the bottom of the hot wok, and then you put enough water or broth over it to cover. And then you have to watch it as it boils, but you never drain it. And so all of that starch in the water stays in there, and it makes this really thick sort of sauce. And so what you do is you heat up the wok first, and you cook all of your things you're going to put in, your aromatics, your veggies, your proteins and things. Take them out, put them in a bowl, wipe it clean. Put the pasta in, put the broth in, agitate it. But you have to stand there while it cooks, but whatever, and just agitate it occasionally. And then when it's done and it's cooked down enough, then you put everything else back, mix it in, and then whatever like finishing things you use. And so I can make some really good Asian dishes out of it, but I can also make like really good Italian out of it. I will do that with like some sausage, some broccolini or whatever, and then I will finish it with some Parmesan and often some tomato paste and things like that. It's really nice. I recently did a version with couscous, with the big like Israeli toasted couscous. That was really nice. I did that with some sweet beans and some asparagus. So I'm really kind of coming into my own a little bit on that kind of stuff.
Cool.
I have said this is the year I start baking. It is mid-July. I have baked nothing. But this is the year.
Well, I mean, the time of year that people really get into that is kind of coming, right? It's like,
you know, or a lot of people to don't look bake at it another way, summer has passed. I agree with you. This is the time of year we don't bake.
It's summertime, yeah.
But we bake in the first few months.
That's true. That's true.
I had a lot of opportunity. To be fair, my meds weren't straightened out at that point.
Yeah, but I mean Christmas time and Thanksgiving time.
Fall and all that.
Yeah, that's a real big time.
Other people have baked around me, so we'll see. Something's gonna happen. Actually, there's the latest one I'm very excited about, grilled cheese hot dogs. I watched a video about this. It's hard to do without a flat top. But I've got some cast iron that we're going to clean up, because I would never use cast iron because I'm scared of cast iron, because there's so much shit you have to do to take care of it. And then I got a wok, and I read what you do to take care of the wok, and I do really good at that. And I mentioned that to my friend Stacy one time, and she's like, that sounds like what you do with cast iron. And I was like, holy shit, it does sound like what you do with cast iron. I could do that with cast iron, and then I could make shit with cast iron. So we have to clean them because they're old now and rusty, so we're going to have to clean them up. But once we do, I'll work with that.
Cool. Cool, really cool.
You can make lots of fun stuff there. I'm thinking about buying one of those stovetop griddles.
Oh yeah,
a good flat top surface is nice.
Yeah,
it's not like we've got room other places, but yeah, the key. I personally think that the key to getting good at cooking, as with so many things, is to cook.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
Keep cooking, you will get better. It helps if you cook for people other than yourself, so that they can tell you, this tastes like dog poop. You should cook it better. Because if you've cooked it yourself, you could be like, it's edible. And they'd be like, no, it's bad. Do it again. So that's important. Cook for people. But yeah, you just cook. I mean, if you want to get fancy, but we're living in the information. As terrible and a mistake as the internet is, if you are attempting any sort of skill or pastime, the internet gives you all the things. You just got to go find them. The number of times where I was like, I kind of want to make something using these ingredients, and I just Google that shit and I find something is awesome. Or certain techniques, like I don't know how to poach something. There's going to be YouTube videos on it.
Uh-huh.
Like there's so much shit about that. So you can pick it up. Gluten-free is really a big fad because, as we know, we have finally torn the cloth away and exposed the terribleness of being gluten intolerant and celiac and all that kind of stuff. And so that's very important that those people get represented. And with it, of course, is a lot of rich white people who also think that they are like that. And so now there's a whole world of gluten-free everything. So yeah, go watch a harmless white lady who's just this far from making it on Food Network tell you all about how to make perfect gluten-free cookies. All right. That's it for now. We got to do another one. I'm not looking forward to it. So wipe that smile off your face. If you are sick of us talking about Stew, beat him in his own game, email us, themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com, and we'll talk about your bullshit. Do you have kids with fucked up problems, like gluten intolerance or ripping the faces off of cats? Email us about it, and we'll have to talk about your dumb kids. This is the rules of the show. So... You know, feel heard. Be like, here's the weird shit my wiener kid is doing. Roast him. I don't know. I don't know why people listen or write in. But do it. Please. We don't have a lot going on. This is all I got. This is my last tie to society. I'm going to be a hermit real soon. So help me out here. And write me about your wiener kid.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.